This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. This is the first session on trying to understand the words of Busiri and the meanings that he's alluding to before he begins to discuss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in detail. Now, this is not a book of seerah in particular. I mean, some of you may be saying, then why not just cover a book on seerah and read the life story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You could do that. But what's very interesting about this book being celebrated throughout history for the way in which he's expressed his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and discussed a number of different aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we want to try to understand what was going on in his mind and why it's so celebrated. And this is like many other ghazal poems. A ghazal, I used to always wonder what a ghazal was. And essentially, a ghazal means to weave something, generally. Ghazala means to weave something. Or it means to speak about your beloved in an amorous way. That's generally what they speak about. So when you talk about ghazals in Urdu or Persian, or in other languages, and in fact, the Urdu and Persian ghazals, or love poetry, love songs as such, full of ishq, they've actually influenced ghazals in English, which is very interesting. However, the genre that we're looking at, the type of ghazal we're looking at, is a totally different. It's a spiritual ghazal, in which love is spoken about. The love that's spoken about here is not an individual, but it's a divine love. But because we generally understand earthly love, which we feel, and it's sometimes difficult for us to understand love of the divine, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many examples that are used for earthly love are used, but to allude to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is not some kind of strange love poem of the world, a ghazal that people like to listen to just to kind of, you know, inspire themselves in some way or the other and remind them of their own beloved. This is actually speaking about the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he starts it off in a way that he doesn't discuss the seerah first. He doesn't discuss anything about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first. He first describes it in a very abstract sense. He's like, he's not even speaking to himself. He's speaking to somebody else. So it's like he's creating a third person, another person, and he's asking that person. So it's this kind of internal discussion that he's having with his own soul really, but he makes it seem like he's talking to another person, and he's like telling him off. So let's look at the first few lines here, and then you'll understand what we're getting at. So this is the way he starts. He first says, أَمِن تَذَكُّرِ جِيرَانٍ بِذِي سَلَمِي مَزَجْتَ دَمْعًا جَرَى مِن مُقْلَةٍ بِدَمِي أَمْ هَبَّتِ الرِّيحُ مِن تِلْقَاءِ كَاظِمَةٍ وَأَوْمَضَ الْبَرْقُ فِي الظَّلْمَاءِ مِنْ إِضَمِي فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِن قُلْتَ كْفُفَا هَمَتَا وَمَا لِقَلْبِكَ إِن قُلْتَ إِسْتَفِقْ يَهِمِي وَمَا لِقَلْبِكَ إِن قُلْتَ اسْتَفِقْ يَهِمِي أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ أَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ مَا بَيْنَ مُنْسَجِمٍ مِنْهُ وَمُطَّرِمِي لَوْلَا الْهَوَى لَمْ تُرِقْ دَمْعًا عَلَى طَلَلٍ وَلَا أَرِقْتَ لِذِكْرِ الْبَانِ وَالْعَلَمِ فَكَيْفَ تُنْكِرُ حُبًّا بَعْدَمَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ عَلَيْكَ عَدُولُ الدَّمْعِ وَالسَّقَمِ وَأَثْبَتَ الْوَجْدُ خَطَّي عَبَرَةٍ وَضَنًا مِثْلَ الْبَهَارِ عَلَى خَطَّيْكَ وَالْعَنَمِ. I'm going to read you the translation from Shaykh Abdul Hakim Murad here, just so that we've read the translation, you got some idea of it, but then you'll start understanding. Now, some ulama have said that this should actually begin with a bismillah. So they've actually composed a bismillah and a hamd to go with this. But the ulama say that this is not the style of this writing. You don't start this kind of writing with a bismillah and a hamd and praise of Allah. You actually started off with this kind of figurative expression. This is just like in everything else, that you have a little preliminary, an introduction of some sort, just to gather people's hearts together, inspire them, get their concentration, and then you'll actually start talking about the main point. So this is a type of writing. Just like in dua, we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you. In Urdu we say tu, right? You don't use necessarily the plural of respect in that case, because it's so personal. That's a very specific place that you can do that. Whereas you can't do that in other places, it seems disrespectful. Right? So these are just ways of, these are literary styles. So let's look at a translation. And just try to understand or try to comprehend what the author is saying. He starts off, he says, is it from remembering past neighbors at Dhu Salam that you mingle with blood, tears shed from your eyes? Is it from remembering past neighbors at Dhu Salam that you mingle with blood, tears shed from your eyes? Or has the wind blown from before Kadhima, from the direction of Kadhima, and the lightning flashed in Idom's dark? What ails your eyes that when you bid them cease, they weep still more? What ails your heart that when you bid it wake, it wonders? Reckons the love-lorn man that his love may be concealed, when a torrent in one part of him and in the other a conflagration. But for passion, you wouldn't weep at an abandoned camp, nor lie awake at night recalling the willow and the mount. So how can you deny your love when witnesses of tears and sickness have testified to it against you? Lovesick passion has written upon your cheeks two tear lines like yellow spice and red anam fruit. Does that make any sense to anybody? Okay. It will start, inshallah, making sense. This is a style of poetry, and it's a very successful style of poetry. So what he's doing here is that he's talking to himself. Now remember his state. He was in this really diseased state, in a sense that he was extremely ill, extremely weak, helpless, feeble, not able to earn, paralyzed. And now he begins to speak about his love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have to have a heart to understand this, not purely intellect. You have to have a heart to understand this. You have to get into this. And you won't be anybody new doing that. This is a celebrated poem. It is the most celebrated. It's the classic, right, of Muslim literature in terms of praise for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now, just to quickly give you a basic understanding, what he's saying here is that, why are you crying for? Why are you lovesick? What's going on in your heart? You know, when you've got love for someone or something, and you have this great longing. So he's asking himself, why are you crying? Because the person is not revealing why they are feeling like that. You can tell the person is in love. They're lovesick, but they're not revealing why. In fact, they're not even telling you they're lovesick. They're trying to conceal it. They're trying to put a straight face. So you start asking them. And he's asking himself, but he makes himself as another person. So he's saying, is it from remembering past neighbors at Dhu Salam, people you used to know, your friends? Is that what makes you worry? Is that what makes you homesick or lovesick? Or that you mingle with blood, tears shed from your eyes? You're crying so much that your eyes, you're weeping tears along with blood, red tears. So what is it that's making you cry like this? So this is one option he's giving him. Is it because of remembering your friends in Dhi Salam? Or is it because the wind has blown before Kadhima? The wind has blown from the place, the direction of Kadhima, which is an area, a name of a city of Medina. Right? It's one of the areas of Medina, according to one of the opinions here. So is it because a wind has blown from there, and that's where your beloved lives? So you think the wind will carry with it some scent or some memory of it? So he's getting really pushy now. And then he says, وَأَوْمَضَ الْبَرْقُ فِي الظَّلْمَاءِ مِنْ إِضَمِ. And the lightning has flashed in Idom's dark. Again, this Idam is a mountain, right? That is by the city as well, Idam. So lightning has suddenly flashed. So what does it do? It gives you a glimpse of the place where your beloved lives. So because the lightning has shone there, and has the spark of it has come, is that why suddenly you've started remembering them? So what's going on? And then he turns, until now he was speaking as though this is, he never addressed the person directly. He was talking about it in a third person. Now look at the pronominal shift. He suddenly starts talking to it directly. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in the Quran as well. He speaks about himself in the third person, then he starts speaking about himself in the first. For example, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that's in the third person. All praises to Allah, Lord of the worlds, as though he's in the third person, right? From a grammatical perspective. Then he suddenly says, Iyyaka na'budu, only you do we worship. Suddenly we made him the second person. And then in some places it becomes, Nahnu awliya'ukum fil hayati dunya, we are. So he's talking the first person. This is just to keep the people thinking and on their toes, so that they don't get bored. So now the poet addresses it directly, and he says, فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِن قُلْتَ كْفُفَا هَمَتَا وَمَا لِقَلْبِكَ إِن قُلْتَ اسْتَفِقْ يَهِمِي. What's wrong with your eyes? That when you tell it to stop, they actually flow more. So all of these are proofs that you've got an issue, you've got some love issue. There's some love that you're conceding. You can tell by your eyes. What's wrong with your eyes then? That when you tell it to stop, they flow even more. And what's wrong with your eyes? What ails your heart? When you tell that to wake up out of this thought process, it wanders even more. It wanders even more. أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبُّ. Sab refers to a lovelorn person. Person who's in extreme love. So, does the lovelorn man, now again he's switched to the third person again, does the lovelorn man think that love can be concealed? So finally he's hitting him directly. That do you think love can be concealed? When a torrent in one part of him and in the other there's a conflagration. Now to put that in simple words, essentially he's saying that in one part of him he's got a torrent of tears, and the other part of him, he's got fire burning. So this is very clear. How can you hide your love then, when it is just so evident? How can you hide it? And it's true, it's very difficult to hide love, right? The people who are in love are just somewhere else. The mind is overtaken, they're just somewhere else. And then he says, لَوْلَا الْهَوَى لَمْ تُرِقْ دَمْعًا عَلَىٰ طَلَلٍ وَلَا أَرِقْتَ لِذِكْرِ الْبَانِ وَالْعَلَمِ. But for passion, you wouldn't, if it wasn't for that love and that passion, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't weep over some abandoned camp. Because of, essentially what he's saying is, talal refers to a place that has been abandoned, and now it's dilapidated, it's left. And the talal is that which, there's still some parts protruding out. So it's not completely erased to the ground. When there's something that's totally erased to the ground in Arabic, that's called rasam, right? Rasam means old buildings that are totally erased to the ground, and talal means when they've still got something standing, a few minarets here, there, or the other, a few walls or whatever. You wouldn't cry over something like this, and neither would you cry over the willow and the mount. These are not things that you would generally cry over. So what are you crying over? And then he says, you keep rejecting that you've got love. So, فَكَيْفَ تُنْكِرُ حُبًّا. How can you deny your love when you have the greatest witnesses against you? You're saying, no, I don't have any love. You're conceding it, you're denying it. But, بَعْدَمَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ عَلَيْكَ عَدُولُ الدَّمْعِ وَالسَّقَمِ. What is the witness against you? Two of the most upright witnesses, two of the most reliable witnesses have testified against you, in the sense that yes, this man has been incriminated with love. He is guilty of love, right? What are those two? Number one are the tears, and number two, saqam, which means your illness, right? You know, your illness. Both of these things, they testify against you. And your face, you have two streaks. You have two rivers running down your cheeks, right? That are of this color and that color as he describes it, right? How can you then deny that you are lost in your love? So this is the way it begins. Without a bismillah, without alhamd, just to kind of get people together to understand. Unfortunately, because many of us are not really into poetry or thinking in this kind of a metaphorical sense or in a figurative sense, elusive sense, sometimes this kind of gets lost to us. You're saying like, no, give us the hard facts, right? But this is what it is. The Arabic is quite difficult. It's not easy for those who understand Arabic here. أَمِنْ تَذَكُّرِ جِيرَانٍ بِذِي سَلَمِي مَزَجْتَ دَمْعًا جَرَى مِنْ مُقْلَةٍ بِدَمِي. Okay, that's that one. أَمْ هَبَّتِ الرِّيحُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ كَاظِمَةٍ وَأَوْمَضَ الْبَرْكُ فِي الظَّلْمَاءِ مِنْ إِضَمِي. فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِنْ قُلْتَ كْفُفَا هَمَتَا وَمَا لِقَلْبِكَ إِنْ قُلْتَ اسْتَفِقْ يَهِمِي. That's just beautiful. I wish you had some singers here. They'd really do a good job with this. Okay, so now let's look at this in a bit more detail as to how he's spinning this together, how he's putting this together. So now you understand that he's actually speaking to himself. But he's not speaking to himself. He's making it like he's speaking to somebody. So it's one internal voice speaking to another internal voice, right? With this complaint. And this is what they call shikwa al-gharam, right? This section, this first section of this number of poems, which is, it's a complaint of love. That's what this is. That's what this has been titled as, a complaint of love. So just to clarify, although this poem is actually known as Qasida Burda, the author actually gave it a different name. In fact, this should actually be called the Bur'a, not the Burda. Because the Burda is more realistically that poem which was read by Ka'b ibn Zuhair in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his time, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got so happy with it that he took his mantle off and he gave it to him. This one, he read it, he composed it much later, not in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but read it to him, or read it, and then after that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in his dream. But this one has become even more famous than the other one, which is really interesting. Otherwise, it should actually be called Bur'a. Bur'a means to become free, to be exonerated. Which means, because he was sick, and when he composed this poem, and then he had a dream in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his hand over him, or gave him his mantle in the dream, and then the next day he was completely fine. His entire paralysis was gone. And we don't have the time, but ulama have actually written about, you know, what to do with this particular poem, and it will benefit you in certain ways or the other. But I think we'll leave that aspect for now. So this is, it's known as the Burda. And so the first lines that some people have composed and said that you should actually start this with, to start it with a bismillah and alhamdulillah, is alhamdulillahi munshi al khalqi min adami thumma salatu ala al mukhtari fil qidami. So it's on the same meter. It's on the same meter. It sounds the same. All praises to Allah, who's the originator of all creation from nothing. And then he is, salutations, blessings be upon Al-Mukhtar, fil qidami. Salutations be on the chosen one, the chosen prophet, from the one who was chosen from eternity. So that's how he begins it. Well, that's how some people say he should begin it. So a ghazal is a lyric poem with a fixed number of verses and a repeated rhyme. That's what a ghazal is known as, right? In any language. So ghazal generally deals with love. Specifically, in normal ghazal, it deals with illicit love, haram love, illegitimate love, love that you want to hide. That's normal ghazal. And you know, a lot of these Urdu songs and these Persian songs and Punjabi songs, that's what they are. They will illicit or unattainable love. That could be another reason for ghazals. To try to sing about something that you can't get. It's unattainable, but your heart is, you're fully emotionally head over heels in love. But in Sufi poetry, the beloved is a metaphor for good, positive, divine love. For the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It invokes melancholy, love, longing, and it asks metaphysical questions. That's what this is all about. So, أَمِنْ تَذَكُّرِ جِيرَانٍ بِذِي سَلَمِي. In Arabic, that just refers to is. It's a question. Is it because of tadhakkur? Tadhakkur means it comes from dhikra, which means remembrance. Is it from remembering? Is it because you're constantly remembering? You're constantly thinking about this. So the thing is that the way the author is presenting this is that he is seeing it is as though he is seeing a man who's got these blood tears coming down his face. Now he wants to interrogate him as to why that is the case, because the person won't reveal anything. So he's saying now that why have you got this? Is it because you are remembering your jiran? Jiran refers to neighbors, people who live around you. Bidhi salam, in a place called the salam, right? The place where there's salam. This could mean a number of different things. Salam could refer to something, and that's why it's the place where salam is found, or it's the salam, that is the place where it is. Or is it because the wind has blown from Kadhima? Is that why you're crying? Or is it because the lightning has flashed in a very dark night from the mountain of Idam? Is that why you're crying? So the doubt is about, we know you've got love, but what is the reason for your love? So the doubt is about the reason. And what's very interesting is Ibn Ajiba in his commentary, he says that he could have said, أَمِن تَذَكُّرِ أَحْبَابٍ بِذِي سَلَمِ. Is it because of remembering your friends, your close ones, ahbab, your beloved, in the salam? But he refused to do that, and he used the more general term of jiran, neighbors. This is obviously to give it a bit more, you can say, ambiguity. But number two, something Ibn Ajiba says, very interesting, which could be applied to English poems as well, those who are interested in English poetry. He says, because even though the word ahbab is on the same wazan, it's on the same meter, and it could have absolutely come in this. It could have come into this poem, and it would have fit in here quite beautifully. But the word ahbab is an overused term, and good poets don't use overused terms that everybody uses. Right? Very interesting. He says, وَإِنَّمَا لَمْ يَقُلْ أَمِنْ تَذَكُرِ أَحْبَابٍ مَعَ أَنَّ الْوَزْنَ يُسَاعِدُهُ لِأَنَّ الْأَحْبَابَ لَفْظٌ مُتَبَذِّلٌ لَا يَسْتَعْمِلُهُ إِلَّا ضَعْفَةُ الْفُقَرَاءِ. He says the only people that use it are the weak poets who don't have too many words at their disposal, or too much vocabulary at their disposal. They use the most common terms that everybody knows. وَيَتَحَامَ مَا يَكْثُرْ تِرْدَادُهُ عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ الْعَامَةِ. The good poets would generally avoid the common terms that everybody would, because they want you to think. If they're just going to give you everything so simple and it just rhymes, and you don't think much, this creates a lot of thought. So that's why he called it, he said that. That's why the other thing is, he's not revealing here Medina, Munawwara. He's not taking the name, as you notice. He's using Kadhima, Idam, the Salam. He's using all of these weird terms that you have to think, what is he talking about? The reason is that, again, poets do the same thing, to create more ambiguity or to conceal. To conceal the place, they use these generic kind of ambiguous terms like the salam. Another one is saqa, sila'. These have been used in different poems, just to create ambiguity. The other thing is they will never mention their beloved by name. Again, they use these generic terms like Layla and Sulma. Imam Ghazali uses the same thing. In one poem, he says the same thing. He says that I'm struggling for 10, 11 years looking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I was about to give up. And then after that, I told myself, no, Sulma. And Sulma is there, she's in front. But he's not talking about Sulma. It's just the name to conceal what you really want. This is what you call poetry. And this is becoming a poetry class. Right? Maybe we get some good poets out of it. So Sulma, Layla, these are generic terms for beloved. Why would you want to conceal your beloved? Well, either because you don't want to reveal it to anybody. You just want to make it seem like, oh, I'm just talking about something. Or out of ghayra. Ghayra means out of envy, jealousy, that you don't want people to know who your beloved is. So these could be many reasons why you're not going to reveal it. But obviously, this is not a love poem, an earthly love poem. He's just using that style to get people into it, because people are used to this. You know, remember, he's writing this in a time when the Arabs were doing this all the time. They would understand this. So he's just trying to attract their attention by starting off like this, and then after that he'll get into the real stuff, which will be really impactful for them. So then he says, so jiran here absolutely just refers to beloved. Is it because of remembering not your neighbors but your beloved in the salam? That's essentially what he's saying, though he's using the word neighbors. And the salam is a place in Makkah, actually between Makkah and Medina Munawwara, close to a place called Qudayd. So it's that's where it is. And he's saying that, is it because of remembering the neighbors at the Salam that you are mixing your that you have mixed your tears which are flowing from your eyes, you've mixed them with blood? How do you mix tears with blood? I did a bit of research on this, and apparently what some commentators say is that if you cry enough, then your tears will eventually, you'll start crying blood, and then you'll cry and then it will be some kind of white substance. I did a bit of research, and apparently there are certain individuals who have this condition, which is really rare. It's not in most people. It's called hemolacria. What it does is that it causes a person to produce tears that are partially composed of blood. So they literally cry red tears. And sometimes this happens to certain people 3 times in a day. They'll just suddenly start crying like that. Sometimes some people say that if you cry a lot and you really like pressure yourself, then you could break a blood vessel in your eye. But others have denied that that's a possibility, that you could ever cry blood. Like if you don't have that condition. Because how could you? You know, unless you crush glass in your eyes or something like that, then that would be real blood. That won't be tears of blood as such. So the other way to look at this is that this is a poetic metaphor, right? This is a poetic metaphor that you've probably seen people who've cried blood, and you think it's because they've cried a lot, so now they're crying blood. So it's trying to evoke that extreme sense of crying. So that's what this may be talking about here. Now, people cry out of happiness, and people cry out of sadness. When people cry out of happiness, the tears are cool. So it's a source of gladness for the eyes. And when you cry out of sadness, when you cry out of worry, out of grief, tears are hot. It creates heat, because it's coming from the heat that's burning and raging inside. So that's the difference between hot tears and you can say cool tears, based on how you're feeling inside. So he says, "Jara min muqlatim bidami." So you are. Why is it then that you're crying in such a way that you've got these tears that are mixed with blood? And then the other thing that you can see is that in poems, you kind of use words that look similar but mean different things. So he's got "mazajta dam'an jara min muqlatim bidami," dam'an and damun. Dam'an means tears, and damun means blood. But they sound very similar. So it's about choosing the right kind of words to create an impact. So in these first 4 lines, what he's doing essentially, he's saying, what are you crying for? Is it because of leaving your neighbors and you're remembering them, your beloved? Or is it because of this flashing of light from the mountain? Or is it because of the wind coming from this direction? So you know, if you've had a really good time with certain people, you used to really enjoy yourself there, and now you've left them. And then suddenly you remember the good times, and now you may be having a bad time here. You could start crying over that, right? So that's one of the reasons he's asking, is it because of that you're crying? For example, تَذَكَّرْتُ أَيَّامًا لَنَا وَلَيَالِيهَا مَضَتْ فَجَرَتْ مِنْ ذِكْرِهِنَّ دُمُوعُ أَلَا هَلْ لَنَا يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهْرِ أَوْبَةٌ وَهَلِّي إِلَىٰ أَرْضِ الْحَبِيبِ رُجُوعُ. And what that means is, I remember those days that we used to have and those nights that have passed now. And by remembering them, tears roll down, tears flow. Oh, is there going to be one day that we can return to that? Or is there going to be a possibility of return to the land of my beloved? So this is a poet saying the same thing. Now, then the second option was, or has the wind blown from Kadhima? So why would you cry over that? Why would you cry if wind blows from a particular direction? It's because if it's blowing from the direction where your beloved lives, then you might be thinking that it might carry this, I'm not going to say her, right? So it might carry their fragrance. So now you remember that you smell that fragrance, it's coming from there. This is just all exaggeration, as you can understand, it's poetry, right? And what about flashing of light? What's that got to do with anything? Flashing of lightning? Well, it's because it says that, you know, lovers, when there's lightning, it actually makes them feel good. Because we're talking about a time when there's no light pollution at night. So what's going to brighten up? At night time is the worst time. Daytime you're active. Daytime you're busy, you're occupied. But what happens at night time? At night time when you have to go to sleep, it keeps you awake. So now you're looking, you can't see anything. Right? There's no photographs that you can look at. You know, there's nothing like that you can do. So the best thing for you is that if there's ever lightning, then that will shine for you the direction of where your beloved lives. So now you start to cry because of that. Ajib. Right? This is to contextualize how people used to think and how people think like this. Another way of looking at this, what Ibn Ajiba mentions, he says that it's because when the lightning strikes, and when there's lightning, a spark of lightning, a flash, you look at it, your beloved will look at it, and both of your gazes will combine, and that makes you cry. Now, if we can't understand that, then we don't know what love is. These are just all expressions of love. Just make sure you use it in the right way, that's all. Right? If love is being opened up to you today, just make sure you use it in the right way. The other thing he says is, amhabbati rihu. Rih means wind. Generally though, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word rih for punishment, when the wind has brought punishment. And riyah for when it brings rahmah and mercy. But he's used the word rih here for particular poetic reasons. The other thing Ibn Ajiba relates about the blood, which is important, is because there's actually a hadith that he quotes. It's in Sahih al-Bukhari that in describing the people of the hellfire, it says that annahum yabkuna ad-dam' hatta yanqati thumma yabkuna ad-dam. So maybe that's what the author was referring to, that the people of hellfire, they will cry out of misery. So first they will cry tears. They will be thirsty. There's no water, they're dehydrated. Then they'll start crying blood. So maybe that's what he's referring to. So what Ibn Ajiba says is that, you know, when you both look at the sun or the lightning together, then because you can't see her, but at least because you're both looking at the same thing, you feel satisfied. Okay. Then what is lightning? According to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, firstly there's thunder and then there's lightning. Now thunder is called Ra'ad in Arabic. And Ra'ad is an angel. Ra'ad is an angel, and they say he has a whip. Now I know from a scientific perspective, we have a description of how lightning and thunder works. But according to what the hadith mentions in the background, this is what it is, that Ra'ad is an angel. And he has a whip, and it's the cracking of his whip which is the thunder. And the lightning, it says that according to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the lightning is ajnihatu malak yasuqu biha as-sahab. It's the wings of the angel by which it drives the clouds. Waqila dhihka, or it's its laughter. That's why Imam Shafi has related in his from Mujahid, the Tabi'i, that Ra'd is the angel and the lightning is its wings. That's what it is. And the thunder is the crack of its whip. Right. Now, after he's asked those three questions, he doesn't get a response. There's still denial of the love. So then he gets more specific and more personal. And he says, okay, what's wrong with your eyes? How come your eyes, they keep watering? فَمَا لِعَيْنَيْكَ إِن قُلْتَ كْفُفَا هَمَتَا. Why is it, what's wrong with your eyes that if you tell them to stop, they continue to flow? What's wrong with your heart that when you tell it to stop, it wonders even more? So this is really like putting, this is again metaphorically putting them in their position and really like aggressively trying to ask them, why is it? Why are you denying this love for? If it's not for love, and if you're right in your denial that it's not love, then why are your eyes crying like this? And why is your heart bleeding like this? And then he says, أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبْ. And again, I mentioned to you what sab means, the person who's in love. That does the person who's in love think that he can hide his love, that love is hidden? So then he says, لَوْلَ الْهَوَى. No. He's saying, how can you hide your... أَيَحْسَبُ الصَّبْ وَأَنَّ الْحُبَّ مُنْكَتِمٌ. Does the lovelorn reckons the lovelorn man that his love may be concealed, when a torrent is in one part of him and there's a conflagration in another part of him? What does that mean? So what he's saying here is, yeah, so he's saying that on the one hand you've got all of these tears pouring down you, and on the other hand you've got this fire in your heart. So how can you hide it? So this lovelorn person should not think that his love is hidden among people, because he's got these tears that are pouring down, and he's got this heart which is filled with fire. And if those were the only two signs, they are the closest, they are the biggest signs for love. So how can you deny your love? And then he says, لَوْلَ الْهَوَى لَمْ تُرِقْ دَمْعًا عَلَىٰ طَلَلٍ وَلَا أَرِقْتَ لِذِكْرِ الْبَانِ وَالْعَلَمِ. If it wasn't for your love that is existent, لَوْلَ الْهَوَى لَمْ تُرِقْ دَمْعًا عَلَىٰ طَلَلٍ, then you would not shed a tear. You would not shed a single tear on things that have been lost, on areas that have been lost. Like that's what he says here, that before, if it wasn't for your passion, you wouldn't be weeping at an abandoned camp. Why would you? Is that the reason why you're weeping? Or you would not stay awake. Wala arikta. Arikta means sahirta, which means you would not stay awake. You wouldn't have these sleepless nights because of remembering the willow and the mount. The willow and the mount. Why is he saying that for? So the willow is from the place where your beloved lives. So you're remembering the willows now. And the mount, again the mountain. And then finally he says in this section, فَكَيْفَ تُنْكِرُ حُبًّا بَعْدَمَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ عَلَيْكَ عَدُولُ الدَّمْعِ وَالسَّقَمِ. How can you deny love? How can you deny your love when witnesses of tears and sickness have testified to it against you? So that's what he says, فَكَيْفَ تُنْكِرُ حُبًّا بَعْدَمَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ عَلَيْكَ عَدُولُ الدَّمْعِ وَالسَّقَمِ. And the way he says it in kind of legal language, عَدُول. Because you don't take hadith from anybody. The person you take from is adul, right? They say, as-sahabat kulluhum adul. All the sahaba are upright and reliable. So he's using that kind of academic term here, that your disease, your sickness, and your blood, your tears, they are more reliable witnesses than anything else. I mean, they're like, you know, they're so reliable. And then you're still rejecting your love. And then after that he carries on, which we'll be looking at next week, what he says, just so that you understand what he's getting into here. He says, نعم صرى طيف من أهوى فأرقني والحب يعترض اللذات بالألم. Yes, my loved one's spirit haunted me. So he starts confessing. Yes, my loved one's spirit haunted me and denied me my sleep, for love ever obstructs pleasures with pain. So now finally he's got through to him. So now he's going to start responding. And then he says, Ya la'imi fil hawa, Ya la'imi fil hawa al-udhriyi ma'ziratan, minni ilayka walau ansafta lam talumi. This is beautiful. He says, you who blame me for this chaste love, right? Again, he's just talking to himself, but as another person now. So you who blame me for this chaste love, I seek your pardon. Yet, had you judged fairly, you would not have blamed me at all. It starts getting a bit easier now. Right? Then he says, عَدَدْكَ حَالِي لَا سِرِّي بِمُسْتَتِرٍ عَنِ الْوُشَاتِ وَلَا دَائِي بِمُنْحَسِمِ. May you be spared my state. May you not have to go through what I have to go through. I cannot hide my secret from my detractors. My sickness will not leave me. Now he's getting personal. He's talking about his sickness. My sickness will not leave me. So he's actually now calling on to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a sense like he's talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a sense, that my sickness won't leave me. He's talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, مَحَطَّنِ النُّسْحَ لَكِنْ لَسْتُ أَسْمَعُهُ إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ عَنِ الْعُذَّارِ فِي صَمَمِي. He says, you offer me sincere advice, but I hear it not. A lover is deaf to all his reproaches. A lover is deaf to all of his reproaches. And then he says, إِنِّ اتَّهَمْتُ نَصِيحَ الشَّيْبِ فِي عَذَلِي وَالشَّيْبُ أَبْعَدُ فِي نُسْحٍ عَنِ التُّهَمِي. I suspect the counsel even of my own grey hairs. My hairs are becoming grey. They are reminding me. They are advising me. They are giving me nasiha. You're getting old. I even suspect them. Right? I don't even believe them. That's how doubtful I am because of my state. Although their advice is far indeed from deception. And then he says, فَإِنَّ أَمَّارَتِي بِالسُّوءِ مَتَّعَظَتْ مِنْ جَهْلِهَا بِنَذِيرِ الشَّيْبِ وَالْهَرَمِ. Thanks to its foolishness, my ill-urging nafs and ego has paid no heed to the warner, white hair and decrepitude. So essentially now he's complaining about the sins he's committed or the wrongful deeds or the weakness of himself and so on. And this is when it gets really interesting. And he says, وَلَا أَعَدَّتْ مِنَ الْفِعْلِ الْجَمِيلِ قِرَى ضَيْفٍ أَلَمَّ بِرَأْسِ غَيْرَ مُحْتَشَمِي. Neither has it prepared fair deeds in hospitable welcome for a guest who has taken up residence on my head. He's talking about the whiteness of his hair. Right? This is a guest, it's there. I'm not preparing for my old age yet. That's what he's saying. لو كنت أعلم أني ما أؤقره كتمت سرا بدا لي منه بالكتم. Had I understood, I would not have honored it. I would have used katam dye to hide it. Hide what it disclosed. Right? I would have dyed my hair, he's saying. Anyway, مَنْ لِي بِرَدِّ جِمَاحٍ مِّنْ غَوَايَتِهَا كَمَا يُرَدُّ جَمَاهُ الْخَيْرِ بِاللَّجَمِ. Who will help me now curb a bolting rebel's willfulness in the way that a rebel stallion may be curbed with reins? So he's saying, my nafs, and I'm all over the place now, I'm wild. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help to curb me just like they would help to curb a wild horse? Right? It's amazing. فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِي. And now he starts giving advice. Right? So although he's talking to himself, he's actually giving the reader advice. He says, فَلَا تَرُمْ بِالْمَعَاصِي كَسْرَ شَهْوَتِهَا إِنَّ الطُّعَامَ يُقَوِّي شَهْوَةَ النِّهَمِ. Now this is really very close to us. Think not to break unlawful whims by satisfying them. Food only increases a glutton's desire. So now this is when his nasihat is coming out. وَالنَّفْسُ, and this is, I think, one of the best lines that I like from here. He says, وَالنَّفْسُ كَالطِّفْلِ إِن تُهْمِلْهُ شَبَّ عَلَى حُبِّ الرَّضَاعِ وَإِن تُفْطِمْهُ يَنْفَطِمِ. The ego, the nafs, is like a child. Neglect it, and it will grow still suckling. But if you wean it, it will be weaned. So inshallah, we'll look at those in a bit more detail next week. Inshallah. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا أو الله accept how we're coming together to hear the praise of your messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to understand this and to also develop ways for our own ways that we can praise our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also be included in those who've praised your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you've said yourself, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have elevated your mention, meaning for the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you praise him and he becomes Muhammad, then oh Allah, why should we not praise him? Oh Allah, so allow this to teach us some ways of praising him in the correct way and in an eloquent way. Oh Allah, give us the barakat that others have had from this, the reading of this poem. Oh Allah, give us the same barakat that others have also acquired from reading this poem. Oh Allah, give us the ability to love you and to grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to speak clearly and allow us to become good da'is to the way of your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both as role models, both as people who embody his sunnah in their lives, and those who are able to attract others to his beautiful way. O Allah, make us true, sincere representatives of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and do not make us a means of bringing his name down in any way, shape or form. O Allah, protect us and preserve us in all ways that people have failed. O Allah, in all ways that people have failed, O Allah, protect us from those. And O Allah, grant us all the successful ways. O Allah, accept our du'as. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakallah khair for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And if you're finding this useful, you know, as they say, do that like button and subscribe button and forward it on to others. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.